Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
In this battle of life, we need a pilot. And Jesus, Savior, pilot me, 497. Next hymn, Stand Up, when my soul shake off thy fears. We're talking about standing for the Lord tonight and needing the proper shoes. So let's sing these four little stanzas by standing, 478. Tonight, our Father, we count it a privilege to enter in prayer because of Christ and His work at Calvary. We have access to the throne of grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, for this. And as we plead tonight, that this time may be profitable and that it'll not be boring and that Thy Spirit would work in each of our hearts. And providentially, there is a purpose for each of us to be here tonight. May your voice be heard in the giving of the word. May there be hearts that respond to the word of God. And we ask our Father you would, in your special way, bless us. We thank you for your goodness to us, taking care of us, and especially for eternal salvation and knowing of Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And so tonight, once again, we invite the Spirit of God to work in our midst, and that our Lord Jesus receive the honor and preeminence. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let's turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verse 15. Now, what are we doing here in the 6th chapter? The 6th chapter has to do with the need to be well prepared in this warfare. And the Apostle Paul, the Spirit of God, decided that he should talk about the soldiers, those Roman soldiers, when he was in prison and house arrest. He certainly had opportunities to see how they were, how well-dressed they were as far as soldiers in those days. And so tonight I want us to take a look at this a picture of the Roman soldier, and then we're to understand it as he is dressed from head to foot, that this is to be understood spiritually, not physically. You're not to put on some kind of a shield here tonight, a physical, but it's a spiritual thing. And you know as well as I do that this life is a life of war, in case you didn't know it. There's war in the matter of troubles, in the matter of our spirits, with the spirits of the demonic spirits, the matter of our minds, our souls, and these bodies. We have problems with them, so it's a battle. And so he says, okay, here's what you want to do. You want to listen to verses 10 through 18 of Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against a spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is the word of God. Now, until our blessed Lord Jesus comes, we will be pestered by demonic spirits and Satan himself. Although he is not omnipresent, he is just but a creature. He cannot be everywhere, but he does have his cohorts, and they are those fallen angels that now who are demons. And there's a multitude of them. And if you've come to know Christ, you're on his sights because you once were his, and now you're not his, and he's going to see to it your life's going to have some misery. And the Word of God says, all right, if you know that fact, and this won't be over until Satan is put into the lake of fire at the coming of our Lord Jesus, you better get yourself ready spiritually, and I'm going to show you how you can put on a spiritual armor. And you need this armor, and you have to put it on. If you don't put it on, then you'll understand why you say, well, I don't understand why things are like they are. I can't understand this, and I can't understand the Bible. I don't understand anything. But we need to be dressed for war. It's a spiritual battle with satanic powers. I think you got that picture, don't you? Satanic powers. You know, it's not with flesh and blood. Oh, wait a minute here. Paul, tell me, Paul, weren't you treated miserably? Didn't they beat you? Didn't they stone you? The men did that. Don't tell me I can't fight with men. He said, listen, I know beyond men it was the work of the devil. Look at verse 12. What is it saying? He said, don't. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't? No. It's but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're big shots. And so forth. You say, well, they're sophisticated. Yeah. And many of them are ruled by demonic spirits. A lot of people don't believe that. But Satan uses flesh and blood. I know that. And he has supernatural powers. But behind those, the human conflicts, as you must see, verse 12. It is Satan's directions that he gives to those of his own who aren't Christians. And he says to them, jump, and they say, well, how high? That's the way of a lost person. It's not the way of the Lord. You say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, then look at the chapter 2 of Ephesians and the first two verses. Maybe it'll show you what I'm talking about. Maybe you understand that there is this truth that you hath he quickened. Now, where am I? Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. How about it? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's where you were before you were saved. Where in time past you walked according to what? To the course of this world, yes. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Come again, please. I was dead spiritually. Oh, I walked around as you were walking around. It means we're dead spiritually. And he said, in trespasses and sins. And he walked according to the course of this world, conforming to the world and happy to be part of the world system. And he also, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan himself, the spiritual demons, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, I don't understand why he does that. I didn't understand people like that. Why are the kids like they are today? Well, look at Ephesians 2 and verses 1 and 2. Maybe you can understand it. You know, in this battle, spiritual battle of the life, you can fall. Now, that breastplate that we studied last time together, that's going to keep us from being hurt. But this business of falling, the Bible says, I want you to be spiritually strong. So three times in this passage, he said, I want you to be able to stand. And as we see here in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. This is God's armor that he gives to Christian, that you might do what? That you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. And then verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having the breastplate of righteousness. That has the idea that you're standing and you're facing the enemy with courage and the strength that's in the Lord. You're not pushed about with every whim and doctrine. This is what the Word of God says. This is what I believe. And it is stand on it. And not back down when someone says, boo! You say, well, no. He said, I want you to be strong. I'll show you how to be well armored, God's armor put on you as a Christian in this day in which you live. Now, he's made some provisions for us to stand. Now, it mentions here in the Bible that there are these schemes of the devil. It just seems that you and I need to understand that this subject, that the wiles of the devil, that is the schemes of the devil, they're plentiful. And you need a spiritual armor on if you're going to withstand against his schemes. You need to be spiritually well dressed. Spiritually. And you need to pay attention to that you dress properly. Spiritually. Now, we did talk about the need for this to keep us safe. We talked about the belt there in verse 14, first part of verse 14 about the belt of truthfulness. And that means to be fortified with the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I regret that as a teenager, I never was taught the Word of God. And so a lot of things I had to learn, but some of you have been taught, as even from babies, you ought to be well fortified in the truth concerning the Word of God, if you've gone to the right place to church. And to be fortified and strengthened in the truths of the Word of God, that's what the belt is all about. And the belt is what is girt around the waist and is to hold everything up. They wore tunics, and it's simply a piece of cloth with a hole for the head and holes for the arm, and it came down over them. I'm saying this is what they wore. But when in time of battle, they would tuck it under the belt. This is a big, heavy belt. It also had a shield for in the front. You can see pictures if you want to, even in our library. It shows pictures of the Roman soldiers and how it looked. Heavy leather. So they were protected. But the belt held up this breastplate. Well, what in the world do I need to know about a breastplate? Spiritually speaking, you need to know about the breastplate of righteousness. You need to know about this belt, the belt of truthfulness. You need to know how that is to be applied, and day by day. I simply would like to encourage you, my friends, get all the truth you can get. You won't arrive. You won't know everything and until our blessed Lord's come. You've got a lot of things to learn. You say, "Why? I think I know a lot." Do you? Do you really? Are you able to handle the problems of life, the conflicts of this war, this spiritual war that's going on, and all the problems that come? It said about the wicked day, the evil day that come upon us. You know, I'll tell you, friends, that those days may be upon us. And you say in verse 13, look at that. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God. Why do you need the whole spiritual armor of God for? It's God's armor. Let him put it on. He said, no, you need to put it on. Why? That you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. What's the evil day? Well, the doctor says, I'm sorry. I have news for you. It's not very good. Well, Doc, he used to lie to us. All things are going to be pretty good and so forth. But they got themselves in trouble, the medical profession did. And now they tell you the truth. Said, well, you got cancer. Really? There's not much we can do about it. Huh. How long you give me, Doc? Well, at the most, maybe 3 months. People have heard things like that. That's an evil day. How are you going to stand that? How are you going to handle that? Huh? What are you going to do if the whole bottom drops out financially and you don't have any money to buy any food? Oh, that wouldn't happen. I have my securities fastened down. I got to my bank. Yeah, well, how come so many of the banks are closing? Don't get so idea that it'll always be the way it is today for us, friends. It may be an evil day, and we're going to have them. And that's what the Bible says. All right, if you think that that's true, then you better listen up, and you better get dressed properly as a Christian and to be well fortified and well-dressed as a Christian to be able to cope with evil days. Some of us have seen evil days, haven't we? You know, not like some of them, though. I just want to say to you that this breastplate of righteousness in the last part of verse 14, what was that all about? What's a breastplate of righteousness? Well, that's the part that covers the important areas of our life, our lungs, our hearts, our livers, or whatever, and the whole area there from the chin down. And it was made of metal, of course. And it was not as a heavy thing. Held up by the belt. Heavy. Not comfortable at all. Take it off at night, yeah. Put it on in the morning. See, what a beast of a thing to carry around. Yep. But it protect you. It's like bulletproof that they have for the police, I guess. It'll help stop some of it. But this is, it really worked. What kind of breastplate? Righteousness. And the Lord Jesus said, now I want you to live as a Christian. You lived with the devil and you did all the devilish things and when you were lost. Now you are a Christian. Now live like a right life that'll please the Lord. You know what a right life is. You need that right life, a breastplate of righteousness. Yes, I think I can understand some of that. Now what else do I need? Verse 15 you need. Well, about the feet. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That is the gospel of peace. That word preparation has the idea of readiness. To be ready. Now, in today's warfare, they have what they call field mines. They didn't have them back there. But they had something that It's true. You just got to check it out at Bible Manners and Customs. The enemy would take sticks, small sticks, sharpen them and point them as, well, they said like razor sharpness. And they would conceal them in the ground so that, say, the enemy's going to come this way. Yeah, well, we prepare these sticks. You say they did. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to argue with history. And they would put these sticks in the ground so that when enemy come, that if they didn't have proper shoes, can you imagine what it would do to a strong man? He said, you need proper heavy shoes. They were sandals without toes, but they had thick leather that would cope with those sharp sticks. Now, what does that have to do with spiritual things? Well, we're going to find some fiery things, and the devil put some sharp situations in our life. Today, you know, in our culture, we think of shoes and say, well, it's an accessory. I remember the first time I was really shocked. I don't know which girl I should tell you, but she needed a pair of shoes. She said, take her up here to Super Shoes, Mom said. So we took, and I thought, we'd just go in there, you know, get a pair of shoes and get out of there. Huh. Boy, was I surprised. I old fellow, I thought, you know, just go by the size you have and go. And she took a lot of time looking for shoes. Drove me crazy. But I want to tell you something. Today it's a fashionable thing, shoes. You have the right shoes on, you have Nikes on, and what do you have? The soldier said, we don't want anything like that. We want something that will fortify and strengthen us when we walk, and they lay those traps for us that we'll be able to walk right on. We don't want some slippery kind of leather. They had hobnobs on them. Well, you football players, you know a little bit about that. Our track fellows that ran in track, they had these hobnobs on them so they could stand. Can you imagine fighting an enemy if he had slippery shoes on, especially a little moisture on the rocks? They were very important, but they came up around with leather straps quite a ways up the leg. I mean, they were really something. They were going to fall off when you run. They were going to fly off like sandals. They were on there tight. And so I tell you this, that this, they're ready to move, it says. You say stand. It says stand, stand, yes. But it also has the word there in verse 15 that have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that has kind of the idea of the gospel of peace is to go give the gospel out. It has the idea of, shall I say, evangelism? What does? Verse 15, that you have your feet shod with the preparation, a readiness, your feet with readiness, and that you might give forth the gospel of peace. Mm-hmm. Now, you know you can't do much if you have sore feet. You can't do much if you're not strong spiritually. You see, I can't really go very far. Why? Well, my feet aren't right they should be. And it's saying here, have yourself spiritually with readiness prepared to go give the gospel of peace. Where is that verse? I have it here somewhere. Let's turn to Isaiah. I think that's the verse I put down. Yes, I think maybe Paul was by the Spirit of God in Isaiah 48, verse 22. I think that's the verse. That's where I believe Paul got the idea, perhaps by the Spirit of God, that it was a matter of the feet and going forth with the gospel. Look at verse 22 of the 48th chapter. No, that wrong one. But it's a verse that I want to talk about peace. You can hold that. I'm talking about how precious are those who have their feet and they come forth preaching the gospel. I know it's in Isaiah somewhere, but maybe it's 1 Corinthians 15. But there's a scripture verse that says they are precious people who will give the gospel of Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of those who do this. And so I'm simply saying to you, it's so important to have proper shoes on. I call them Christian shoes, just a little bit facetious. Not really, but if I were an entrepreneur man, I'd probably say, I could take advantage of, like a lot of people do, about religious things. I just sell some Christian shoes, put some scripture verses on it, makes a bale of money. That's what they do with a lot of things. I'm not talking about such a thing. I'm talking spiritually. Spiritual shoes. You know, if we're going to talk about shoes, let's have a little history. And Ken could tell us better than I can, but when Captain George Washington was down in Valley Forge, and what he had originally about 14,000 soldiers, a lot of them died in horrible conditions. They just needed food, and it was cold. And one of the things that they didn't have was what?
Shoes.
Didn't have shoes. How would you like it? How did they keep warm? They took cloth and wrapped around their feet. Didn't have shoes. Now, how can an army fight without shoes? How can you stand against the wiles of the devil and demonic spirits if you're not properly shod? So you're able to walk forth with the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace. Yes. Not only that, I think of my history's right, the Civil War, the rebels. They came north because they needed some shoes. Do I have a little bit of that right?
Going to Gettysburg.
So you can get some shoes. Shoes are very important. And spiritual shoes are very important. And he uses the outfit of a soldier to show us how important it is to be shod properly. If we can get to understand that. Shod with what? Christian principles. And the peace. A gospel of peace. Christian principles. You know, we've been hearing others talk about the Christian principles have so been relegated to insignificance in our country, the great United States of America, that they're not really significant, Christian principles. They're not allowed in school, and you heard this over and over, but it's true. They want to do away with Christian principles. Now, friends, if you want to go along with humanism and say it's not that important, then when the evil day comes and you say, I don't know why, I can't figure out why this would happen to me, and you can't cope, you better get some understanding of what it means. You need some real depth of Christian principles to live in this life to please the Lord. So there are peace shoes. Well, those Israelites, when they were in the wilderness there for how many years? 40 years. And it said the shoes did not wear out. Boy, that's something. Wear shoes for 40 years and it didn't wear out. We're going to talk about shoes that will never wear out. And that is the shoes of peace that the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace, gives to you. If you know the Lord Jesus savingly, he puts on you, he'll dress you, God's armor will be on you spiritually, and you'll be ready, you'll be courageous, you'll be strong, and you'll be fortified to stand against the wiles of the devil and all these demonic spirits that the Bible speaks about. But it has to do with peace. And in Romans chapter 5, there's that great verse. If you don't know much of the Bible, you ought to know Romans 5, verse 1, because it is one great verse. And it says, therefore, Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified, yes, sir, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have peace. But if you have Christ, you can be, you have peace with God, then you have it comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible speaks that the natural man, his heart is at enmity against God. God and he are not getting along, you know that. I don't like you, God. Stay out of my business. I don't even want to know anything about you. I'm doing well without your help. Thank you. Out of my life. In fact, the matter is, some fellows get to such a place, you talk about things and say, I don't want to hear anything more about it. You go mind your own religion. You need to push it on me. But the Bible says get those shoes on and go, because he wants us to go with the gospel and tell others and be soul winners. Yes, we are. It's not an option. That's what it's all about here this morning, or this evening. The shoes that he'll provide for us spiritually will protect us. The Christian principles. And we go forth, and not only that, we are to give forth, as it says there in verse 15 of Ephesians 6, and that is what? That this is that our feet be shod with the preparation, the readiness of the gospel of peace. So we get peace with God through knowing the Lord Jesus. Yes, I got that right. And that means we're to be set apart for the Lord. We are commitment, and we're to serve the Lord. And when we fall, we get up and confess our sins and just keep on working. And that'll happen to us. It has to do with lordship. In the service, it's sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's what we say to our great commanding officer, Lord Jesus. When he speaks, we say, sir. Yes. And that's what he wants. He wants commitment. Well, now, preacher, you think that people are going to pay attention to that? The generation. They don't pay attention to that. Well, then you aren't going to be shod properly. Because if you don't have the gospel of peace, you're not shod properly. And I was thinking about to obey our great commanding officer, the Lord Jesus. It's not an optional thing. We're in the Lord's army. And we're to be spiritual soldiers. What does that all mean? Well, it means commitment for one thing. It means also that we ought to be ready to answer questions. Some people say, well, I don't know that. I never heard anything like that. I just don't know anything about it. Do you read your Bible? Well, yeah, maybe. You don't know anything about it? And you go to church? I don't go to church that much. I go to church when I want to. Oh. If I feel tired, I'll stay in bed. Oh. That's interesting. And you say you're a Christian. Yeah. Well, it says, forsake not the assembling yourselves together as a manner of some is, as much as you see the day coming. That's a downright sin. Do you know that, buddy? Lady? You don't go to church, that's a sin. Come on. He said, come in. Forsake not the assembling yourself together. Oh, come on. Give us a break. No, that's what the commanding officer says. You say, well, he's my Savior. I know the Lord. And do you listen to your Lord? The word Lord means master. You listen to him? I tell you this. It just amazes me how that if somebody gets a little excited religious and they say, you know, he's a weird guy. He's fanatical. Let's go to the Penn State game and see who's fanatical. Huh? I'm not too interested in spiritual things, but I want to go to the Penn State game. You do? Yep. And I get there early. You do? Yep. Where do you want to sit? I want to get the best seat. Yep. And what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to root. I'm going to yell and shout and scream and carry on. And if I happen to say amen in a church, say, ooh. They look for the best seats. Where's the best seat? Isn't like the God of sports. And that's what it is. Now, I'm not against sports. But it can be your God. Where I come from, the sports was basically hunting. Yeah. We were all hunters. It was a big thing. And some of you came from families like that, too. But it can be your God. Politics can be your God. It was mine at one time. It really was. I was all into it. And it's hard to get out of it. But it's a big deal. And some of you say, well, I don't understand why people are so excited about politics. It's a religion, too. But the Bible is talking here in Ephesians 6. We're talking about the spiritual, the life, active life, the life of knowing the Lord Jesus and having His Spirit reside within us. And we take this gospel of peace and we go into a spiritual battle is what He said is going to happen. You know, it's one thing that when we go forth with the peace, there can be some gentleness. And the Bible says we're to consider others better than ourselves. Excuse me? We're to consider others better than ourselves, that they're superior than us. Oh, no. Well, see, there's the commanding officer said that's what we're supposed to do. But if you have an attitude, I am a blue blood, or I am trained, and I have done this, I said, you might as well forget about trying to be an evangelist. Evangelism it takes humbleness of heart, gentleness, and sweetness. Oh, come on. Yeah, it does. That's what it talks about. And there is a fear that a person ought to have, and that is reverential awe of God. God, I want to do what's right. Will you guide me? Will you help me? And I want to speak to people about the Lord Jesus. I want to say the right words. And also to go forth with the gospel of peace, and that is to have a clear conscience. Can't do much if your conscience is battling, is not clear. A clear conscience, a gospel of peace, and be able to stand and fight against the devil and all of his cohorts, demonic spirits. This is really something, friends. If you don't think that this is important, you're going to find out that if you don't have God's armor on you, and if he says, this is command. You know what commands mean? I don't want to care. I don't care about this. God says, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation. Stand, verse 14. It's all commands. And he says, I want you to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This life has a lot of quicksands. I always thought of, when I see a movie back years ago, people fall into quicksand and just no way of getting out. Life has quicksands. And oh, we need to have our preparedness spiritually, and that we might stand on the solid rocks rather than falling into quicksand. But you got to be watchful. And you have to be able to counter these fiery darts. And it says here, I realize that mostly it's defensive, but you notice that it does speak about these, verse 16, to be able to counter. How am I going to counter those fiery darts of the wicked? I need to learn how to do that. The Bible says about the wicked that God says, the wicked, they have no peace. They may give the impression that they have everything under control, but when it comes right down to it, they don't have peace that passes understanding. Peace comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. All I can say is if you would listen to the next hymn, the last hymn, and that is Christ is a solid rock, and to be on Christ, it's hymn number 582, it's 329 in the Red Book, Robert. Christ, stand. On Christ I stand. The solid rock. Hymn number 582.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.